Abner Maris is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world, both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Maris, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and man he is today. They chat about topics like the state of boxing, being a husband and a girl dad, sports, music, culture, and family life. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Maris each week wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays, and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Kotnick, and to talk about everything that happened Sunday and look ahead to hopefully brighter days on the horizon for the Green Bay Packers, I've got my two co-hosts. It's Matt Freilich and Janelle Mackey. Guys, how are you doing? Are you hanging in there after whatever it is that we saw on Sunday? I won't call it a game. We'll just say the thing that's happened on Sunday.
A performance. I'm doing well. Doing well. I mean, it's not a complete letdown as many other people are stating or just, pulling the ripcord. Like, I think it's, the Buccaneers are a decent team. Obviously, Tom Brady is always going to be tough no matter what team he's on. Was it a game going into the season I thought they could have maybe have lost? Yeah, but that was also riding the buzz from the national media thinking that Rob Gronkowski and LeSean McCoy and Tom Brady and all these guys are going to be studs, and I think they're coming maybe back to a little bit more playing field. But I know Janelle's feeling a little type of way, not just because of the Packers game. Other things are going on with her.
Yeah, dealing with the loss on Sunday, didn't want to carry it into my Monday, was going to start the morning fresh, new day, new mentality. Then the first news I see the morning is Doc Emrick, the voice of NHL hockey, announced his retirement. So I have just been having quite the Monday, diving into the archives, grieving, crying, whatever, just on an emotional roller coaster. And then now I'm back to having to talk about yesterday's game. So it's been a whirlwind 24 hours for me. Plus it's snowing. So, I got to... Like, on top of all that, yes, we are preparing for 3 to 5 inches of snow in Minnesota tomorrow.
Oh, my God. I would be doing much worse. I would be doing much worse if I thought it was going to snow in Green Bay. I would be in shambles. I hate snow.
Oh, I'd be drunk.
It's melting snow today, but tomorrow is measurable snow. Like, I might have to brush off my car on my way to work tomorrow.
Yikes.
Wait, on your way to... Oh, that's right, because you guys are still doing... So I was going to say, this is the worst time to be a teacher or a student because you don't even get snow days anymore.
Not a thing.
But yeah, you guys are doing kind of the half and half, aren't you?
Yep. So gosh. I do go to work and no snow days ever again, probably.
Oh, that is the worst thing to come out of this pandemic.
You don't get a snow day in Minnesota for anything less than double digits.
True.
It's crazy because my fiance lived in North Carolina for a couple of years, and they seriously, like, it was supposed to be maybe an inch of snow, and they were shutting down government buildings. They had snow plows out and ready to go, and she's like walking around because she's from Michigan, and she's like, what is going on? Like, this is a dusting. This is nothing.
Yeah, it's amazing the way some people who don't know how to handle snow, it's like, there's people out there who are like, oh man, it's only 60 degrees, and it's like, don't even talk to me. It's 30 today, and I still wore sandals outside, so.
Hockey chick, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right, Janelle. Losing Doc Emrick like that to retirement, that was a real kick in the teeth after what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, I knew I could weep to you about it. You get it, man. You get it.
Oh, not only, I mean, you could say he's probably the best play-by-play voice.
Yeah, he's my favorite ever. In all sports. There's just nobody who I feel like puts the passion and, like my mom was telling me earlier when I told her, she was just devastated because she was talking about how she could be watching a game of two teams that she just couldn't care less about, and she'd still have fun just listening to him because he just puts that much emotion into it. So if you haven't been following hockey, I'm really sorry that now you'll never get to experience Doc Emrick's play calling.
That is very sad. Go to YouTube, watch the highlights of Doc Emrick. He's
Or just
class act.
On Twitter, because there's going to be 1,000 videos in the next 24 hours of him.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's I guess talk about this thing that happened on Sunday, guys. Just an absolute terrible performance by the team against the Buccaneers, 38-10. I mean, reminiscent of almost every loss that happened last year. Like, this is starting to become a trend now. When they lose big, and it sucks. What? Just give me your first takeaways from it. Once it hits zero and you're kind of processing, what are the first thoughts that you have coming out of that game as we sort of transition from reeling from what happened and thinking about what it means to us this season?
I'm going to give you three quick ones here, and I'm sure we got all of some of the same thoughts, maybe not. First one is, momentum's a real thing in sports. Like, that pick six was enormous and changed the entire dynamic of the game. Being up 10-0 to all of a sudden, you know, still only being up 10-7, it just, nothing seemed to go our way after that. The second is, I don't think enough can be said about Tyler Irvin missing yesterday, because not only will that help actually make Devin White and Lavonte David move laterally, it would also, I guess, make the Packers not run tosses in a toss inside, I saw once or twice. So that was a thing that I didn't really like. And just, I mean, maybe you can be something said about the weather, but I just think overall, once it went bad, it went really bad. And you were kind of trying to rationalize. It was like you said, Dan, like in the games in the past, maybe in the last couple of years, where you're just like, oh, can you're like doing the math in your head. You're like, okay, if we get the ball back now, we could still do it. And like, if there was a certain point, you could tell maybe the 13 minute mark, 12 minute mark in the fourth quarter, where you could just tell, like, we're just trying to get out of this game healthy. I mean, there's a few banged up guys that we'll talk about later, but
yeah, when they
really
punted,
Right. Oh. It's just like that. So like, I don't know, like it sucks, but the momentum, the Tyler Irvin being gone, and then just the way you're approaching kind of being down, I guess, wasn't my favorite. Janelle, what were your thoughts?
Like, as soon as the clock hit zero, I was just kind of like, on to the next, you know, live and learn from this one, but don't carry it in your back pocket all week. Move on, focus on Houston. So I think this is one of those games where I just wanted to kind of bury it. And, you know, you have to take this game with a grain of salt. Obviously it happened, but you can't take what happened today into next week. You can use the momentum of wanting to come back from that, but it was just like, ugly is the only word you can use to describe that. And I put out the tweet, you know, when it rains, it pours. But for the Packers, it's like rain, hail, lightning, a tornado, just this chaotic thing of pain when they lose. So the only good thing out of that game was Mason Crosby. You know, he was 100% right in the beginning, but then we never got to see him again. So I don't know. There's just so many takeaways that are just like, it's scrambled eggs in my brain. Just all the things that went wrong yesterday. And like you said, when one thing goes wrong, it's like one thing after another. It really just snowballs. They don't lose pretty, I guess is the way to say it. They always lose ugly, or at least that's how it feels these last couple seasons.
Yeah. And I said that on Twitter too. It's like, it doesn't matter. At a certain point in the game, it doesn't matter if they lose by 28 points or by 10 points. Like, the loss still counts as a loss.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if, you know, if we're going off of last year where it was like, you know, winning all these ugly games and everyone asks, you know, well, like nobody asks how you won the games. It just asks you if you won them. Well, the same can be said flip side for losses at a certain extent. You know, they lost this game. No matter if it was a 28-point loss or a loss by a field goal at the end when they come back or something. Like, this is a loss. You move on from it. One thing I want to ask you guys, since we're kind of looking ahead now, and this is sort of a look ahead past Houston and to the Matt LaFleur regime as a whole as he continues his career. This is twice now, because he's had – this is second season, so he's had two bye weeks to come out of. And each bye week, he comes out on the road and they look completely outmatched and completely unprepared to play the game. Do you think there's anything to be said about the culture, I guess maybe is the best word, that Matt LaFleur has in Green Bay, where
like, it's obvious that players weren't ready for this game. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, like, is there enough there to say that yet?
So that's a great question. I had a friend of mine from college. He was tweeting at me during the game. Once the game was out of hand, I was like, all right, I'm going to converse with Eric here. But really, it's too soon to tell with only two bye weeks. Now, there is something to be said about it being two road games. So there is, it's not like there's one home game, one road game coming off the bye. And you don't want to say that Matt LaFleur doesn't run a tight enough shift, but you could definitely draw a, you know, like Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You could try to connect the dots on the billboard and really try to get down that spider web. But I think it's too early to say. But I mean, he does run a different ship than Mike McCarthy. It's loose. It's fun. I mean, maybe there's some preparation they should have leading up to the game a little bit differently, the way you're handling it. It's too early to say he doesn't have, you know, a tight enough, maybe a short enough leash on the players. But if this happens again, or maybe going into the playoffs and you have a bye week, there's just certain things that you kind of look towards. So I think it's way too soon to react. But you could make a conclusion early on if you really want to jump to conclusions. But let's give him another season or two before we start doing that. But I would assume a professional like Matt LaFleur, if you made it to the NFL, you would take inventory. He's probably hearing this or probably considering, like, you know, we've lost two bye games coming off a bye. Generally, those should be, you should be well prepared. So I would hope he would take a little bit of inventory and just kind of look at maybe it's something we should do different. Maybe we shouldn't have a certain practice on a certain day of the week, or maybe we should do another walkthrough when we get to town or something along those lines. So I don't think I'm not hitting the red panic button yet, but I think it's something definitely to look towards going in the future.
Yeah, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think both LaFleur and Rodgers said that this week of practice was just crap, to be blunt. So that also, like, even without the bye, if you have a crappy practice week, you're probably going to play just as crappy because you practice how you play and play how you practice kind of thing. But I also don't want to just assume, well, this is Matt LaFleur's fault. You know, it's been 2 years in a row now that they've come off the bye and atrociously lost because – and I really did my best to dig to try and find this. But I remember maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I'm going to, obviously, this is me on the podcast, I'm going to bring up Jordy, but he did an interview. He did this interview, and I can't remember who with, but it talked about how sometimes the bye week can really, really mess up the groove of a good team. Mm-hmm. So that was something I had it in my drafts and I never actually put it out into the open because I didn't want to be a jinx. So now it's just kind of haunting me and I had to delete it because I feel this ghost of my own thoughts. But it was something I was genuinely concerned about, just remembering that Jordy interview talking about how the bye week, yes, it can be good injury-wise, but it can also completely skew your groove. So even though the Packers are playing like a really good team, that bye week can really just throw a loop in the way you're playing. So hopefully it's just a fluke that they came out looking this ugly and it's just coincidence of the bye week and bad practice. But that's one of the things, is if this was 2 years ago, I'd be much more concerned. But the mentality of this team and Rodgers, it really doesn't concern me how ugly this loss was. A loss was a loss. It looks the same in the column no matter what. But I think that this team has what it takes to bounce back, and I think that says a lot about the culture that Matt LaFleur has created with this team, is that I'm confident in what they've created and I'm not too worried going forward. Now, if it's just an ugly game against you, then I'll be worried. But I think it's going to say a lot more about how they bounce back than how ugly this game was.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's more so, not so much the buy, but it's the feeling that they've had coming into the buy. Because riding high coming into the buy last week, you're playing, you know, amazing football. This week, or let me take that back. The Chargers game last year, everyone expects a downtick in the offense without Davante Adams those first couple games without him. They play amazing football. Everyone's riding high. They bring Davante back, going against the Chargers, lay an absolute egg. 4 weeks now, they're playing the best football to ever start a Green Bay Packer football season, and then come off the bye, lay an absolute egg. Like, so maybe the culture problem isn't so much of like what Matt LaFleur is doing to prepare or anything like that. And I'm not saying that there's like a bad culture with the team. I'm just saying maybe this team doesn't quite know how to handle their own success just yet. Because Aaron kind of pointed to it, you know, making sort of a mention of players, you know, maybe reading too many of their own press clippings, feeling too good about how they were doing coming into this game and not feeling, you know, not taking it as seriously as maybe they should have. And like you kind of said, Janelle, like that could probably be reflected in the bad practice, you know, last week. But let's move forward with some of the storylines that we're looking, guys, after this game. For me, there's two big storylines looking forward to Houston. The first one is maybe not the most – it sounds like the bigger problem, but from what it sounds like, it probably isn't. And that's the injury to David Bakhtiari. I maybe texted my dad the F word just like 20 times after when he went down. Because, I mean, is there a guy on this team that you, like, he's like the second most, like the second highest guy that you would not want to see go down with injury right after Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones, you can make a case for Aaron Jones, but I think
Aaron
Jones is productive because of David Bakhtiari, and Aaron Rodgers can be productive because of David Bakhtiari.
A lot of success feeds off Bakhtiari's performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and then so you're going into Houston with J.J. Watt, who I assume would be lined up right against it was Rick Wagner who came in and replaced Bakhtiari there, I think, in that second half of the game. I mean, J.J. Watt against Bakhtiari is much different than J.J. Watt against Rick Wagner. So this is something to keep an eye on. I don't know. I'm not a medical expert, but I have to imagine that no matter what the injury is, there's probably a good chance he does not play Sunday. Wouldn't you think?
Possibly. I mean, anytime it's it's like a chest injury. So like anytime you see that, like it's, you know, I go two ways. One, I'm like, okay, maybe he got a helmet right under the shoulder pads or like in that, that jacket area, or like it's a pec. And if it's a pec, like we're not even talking about him playing the rest of the year. So like if it's a strain on the chest, like maybe he can still go, but like being a lineman, like you're using your hands and you're using your upper body to have to shove off, you know, these elite pass rushers like J.J. Watt. So I don't know, man. I mean, from the sounds of it, like what we were all checking before we started recording, like it doesn't sound like it's serious. But I mean, even if it's not serious, like you're saying, Dan, maybe he sits out. I didn't even consider that until you said that. But I mean, what do you think, Janelle?
Yeah, I mean, because I read more positive things about Bakhtiari today, I guess the thought of him not playing never occurred to me. And it also kind of pops into my brain. The last time the Packers and Texans met was snowy day at Lambeau. But J.J. Watt was also hurt that game. So they have not faced J.J. Watt in maybe ever. I don't know. If anything, it's been a long time since. So I think that's also something you look back and you're like, okay, even the guys who played on that Sunday years ago, J.J. Watt is in the lineup because he's finally making it through injury-free so far. And obviously he's one of the best defensive players in the league. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a biased Wisconsin fan, but he's somebody who, even if Bakhtiari was healthy, I would still be a little worried about. So thinking about Bakhtiari not playing and Wagner coming in, it really really makes you nervous about that left side of the line, especially after the damage that Tampa Bay's front line did. So, yeah, the thought just, it kind of irks me a little bit to think about that, because obviously Bakhtiari is the best at what he does, and that's protecting Aaron Rodgers. So you don't want even the thought of somebody who can't be protecting Rodgers out on that line, especially against a team like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and something I even kind of thought of while we were sitting here talking about it. I mean, we have to consider there's maybe a good chance that the injury, like you guys both said, all signs have pointed positive so far, right. And maybe they realized that the injury wasn't that severe and just kept him out of a pointless game at that point. You know, there's no reason to be putting him back into a game like that. So it's definitely somebody to be keeping an eye on. It's really like the one injury storyline, I think, moving forward, outside of Kevin King, who didn't play this last week. The other one that I am thinking about, guys, here, and this is more of a macro issue to look at as we move ahead, is this defense. I mean, we talked quite a bit now about this offense and the struggles of Aaron Rodgers and this offensive line and not handling the pass rush, but this is the first time this defense was really exposed. And I think the biggest issue for me moving forward is not only were they exposed, but we did not see any production from any of their stars this past week. I mean, the run defense looked a little bit better. Ronald Jones still had, I think, over 100 yards.
Yeah, he still had 100.
Like, I mean, we saw how many times, it was at least the one time, Adrian Amos just basically hand-holding Rob Gronkowski as he goes and catches that touchdown pass. You know, there was absolutely zero pass rush from a defensive line that's the healthiest defensive line they've had all season. You know, the production from this defense needs to step up, and you're going up against a quarterback now in Houston this week who's mobile, which they've never been able – they've always had trouble handling mobile quarterbacks like this, and another stellar wide receiving corps. So this whole week of practice, looking at what happens, you know, in the practices, the meetings and things like that, what the players are talking about and how they're sort of addressing it, that's going to be big, because this is the first time we really saw this defense kind of show what the bottom is.
For sure. And I just think it was frustrating because, like, I'm sitting there and thinking about the game after it's, you know, basically out of hand with the minutes are ticking off into the fourth quarter. And you're like, where the hell was the Darius Smith all game? Like, you know, mm-hmm. Preston Smith hasn't done anything all year. You know, Kenny Clark was coming back from injury, and it sounds like the Lancaster injury had a little bit to do with that, where he was going to
go out at 1.2.
Did he get banged up?
I feel like I remember
he might have. He did. You're right. He did in the first half. You're right. He did go up, but he came back, I believe.
He was unproductive anyways.
Exactly. But it's just frustrating to see, like, you have these guys that are supposed to, you know, be the cornerstone of the defense and get pressure and wreak havoc. You thought they would have been able to get after Tom Brady. That wasn't the case. It was just a sloppy game from start to finish. And my biggest concern, Dan, like you mentioned, is the mobile quarterback. But, like, Deshaun Watson is that dude that's always just going to run around and try to make plays even when it's just kind of dumb. Like, he doesn't give up ever. Like, he's never one to slide in the backfield or throw a ball away. He's always trying to break a tackle from that suspect offensive line that they're letting guys through. And, like, that's the problem I could see into this game. I mean, I think definitely the Packers are the better team, obviously. But you got a team in Houston that's 1-5. Like, they are nothing to lose. Romeo Crennel is the oldest coach in NFL right now. Just somehow is, you know, able to put on the face mask and the headset and coach again. And now it's like, what do they have to lose, right? Like, they're not going to win the division at this point, you wouldn't think, with the Titans being undefeated. Like, it's kind of like a recipe for disaster if you're the Packers. You have a team that's kind of hungry. And, again, like, mobile quarterback, bunch of skill players. They looked pretty good on Sunday. You know, the only positive of that, the Houston defense outside of J.J. Watt, is horrendous. And I'm very confident that we'll get back to the traditional jet motion when Tyler Irvin's back and healthy. We'll stop running tosses. We'll try to block inside linebackers. I understand Levante David and Devin White are really, really fast and really, really athletic, but just the scheme on offense to try to get players of the second level to get blocks in that zone blocking. And then defensively, as you said, Dan, it just, it wasn't there. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what happens. But Janelle, do you think the defense is going to shape up and slow down Deshaun Watson, or is what are your thoughts?
I mean, they have no choice at this point, you know. They have seriously been exposed, and it was, yeah, Matt, you said frustrating. That's really the only word you can think of. No matter how much I yelled at my TV, they wouldn't listen to me and go get after Tom Brady. His jersey was jersey was way too clean, which is really frustrating, because that was the one thing I remember saying. I don't remember if it was to you guys or on other shows, but, you know, if you pressure Tom Brady, he will crumble. And you could see that kind of towards the end. Like, okay, you see what happens when you get a little pressure on Tom Brady. Now he's throwing the ball out of bounds, or he's not on target and stuff like this. And it was really unfortunate that this was the game that Gronk kind of broke out with this Bucs team, because he has been irrelevant until yesterday, which really, really sucks in, like, for us just thinking like, okay, cool, we're the ones that allowed this to happen. And yeah, it's frustrating. Gotta give props to Jair though, because I think it looked like he kind of shut down Evans pretty well. Didn't see too much action from him, which was good, because I know that that receiving core had been banged up. But yeah, just going into this next week, you look at this receiving core and you've got Randall Cobb, who we all know and love. You don't want to see him fall out against his former team. And they've got Stills and Fuller and
Cooks. Cooks has been coming on lately too, and he wasn't really a factor earlier.
Yeah,
on.
And even like Cutie, is that how you say his name? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got Cutie, really good depth at receiver. And you look at these guys, and it's like, this is a fast receiving core too. Like, this is a receiving core of speed. So you hope that Kevin King is back. You hope that Amos does, because I think they're Jordan Atkins, he's listed as out on the depth chart right now, but obviously we won't know more about that till later. So I know the tight end matchup, it seems like that, like, okay, I'm kind of backtracking now. Another thought, the tight end matchup always seems to be a burner for this Packers defense as well. Not just the run game, but the tight ends just not being able to cover a big body. And Gronk, who is slow as ever, still is just out there catching touchdown passes like it's nothing. So I think that's another thing, is you have to be able to keep up with these guys and play. You have to play big, even when they're physically bigger, you have to play bigger than them. So I think, yeah, there's just, I could nitpick this defense all day. And I was really hoping with Kenny Clark returning, it would look a lot better, but then you've got him dropping into coverage and it's like, what is going on? You know, one thing after another, it was a complete disaster. And, you know, I'm not saying Pettin loses his job in the middle of the season, but I think if this team doesn't shape up on the defensive side, that we probably won't see him next year. You know, I really don't see them letting him go midseason. It just, what is the point of that at this point? But I'm like out of breath just with everything that frustrates me, because I am a broken record every week talking about the defense. And, you know, like, is this going to be the game that the Smiths break out? Is this going to be where we see Preston? We've got Kenny back. Oh, Kevin King's hurt, but, you know, we've got guys who can step up, and it's just, it's, yeah, frustrating. So, yeah.
I mean, it's all the same stuff we were talking about last year, though. It's like,
my recording from 2 weeks ago and plug it here, and it would still be just as relevant.
Because nothing's changed, Janelle. The run defense hasn't changed. Like, they were missing Leonard Fournette. They still ran for 100 yards with Ronald Jones. Like, can't cover the tight end. They still were able to complete passes to, you know, Rob Gronkowski, who, I mean, everyone thought he'd have a good year, but he literally had, like you said, it was his breakout game. Like, eventually, like, you got to make some adjustments, Pettin. Like, yeah, he's not going to get let go in the middle of the season, but I mean, at this point, he's 100% playing for his job. He's the only guy left over from the Mike McCarthy era. Like, you got to imagine if it, you know, things don't turn around, they're just going to cut ties with him, because they've given a bunch of talent, right? I mean, you got first round picks in the secondary. You got Adrian Amos is brought up. You got the Smith brothers. You got Kenny Clark, who's an extension. Like, we didn't even mention Chris Barnes, by the way, who had probably the best game on defense, which an undrafted guy, you know, doing that. It was awesome. He was flying around, but that can't be, like, that can't be your focal point of inside linebackers, a, you know, undrafted dude.
Yeah, talent's there, but scheme is not.
Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, or an overbearing parent screaming words of wisdom from the stands, fewer than 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Whether it be 30 years of Hall of Fame QB play in Green Bay or 30 years of quarterback torture in Chicago, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and the talent, I mean, you're completely right about the Mike Pettine thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel like that's a storyline that we need to keep an eye on the entire rest of the season, Janelle, because I think, yeah, this is the game that puts Mike Pettine on the hot seat. You know, the first four games, yeah, the defense was doing what they needed to do, but they weren't world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. This game, though, this has to be the Mike Pettine is officially on the hot seat. If you've got now 11 games plus postseason, hopefully, to figure this out. If it's not looking better by then, donezo. You're gone. I hope you're renting, and that's it. Because what we saw today, or what we saw yesterday, Sunday, is just an utter... It's an utter underperformance by everybody, coaching staff and the players. They have the talent, almost, you could argue, talent across the board, maybe outside of inside linebacker. But everywhere else, they have the talent. They have guys on this team, on that defense, that are starting basically on any team, no matter what, you know, at this point.
I do want to say Montrevious Adams was the one guy who I was really impressed with.
Yeah, he actually had a really good game. He did. And that's the thing, is you've got guys, you've got the talent. You've got to find a way to make it work, Mike. And I swear to holy God, if I ever see, I'm in the middle of a road trip to Wisconsin right now, but if I ever see third and two and the cornerbacks are 8 yards off the line of scrimmage, I'll drive back up to Green Bay and clear Mike Pettine's desk out myself. Just thank you. Thank you. We'll start a bail fund for when I inevitably get arrested for trespassing.
Andy Herman is always willing to pay bail if you're doing something he supports.
But I mean, there's no like rhyme or reason to the scheme sometimes, and you could make an argument here that if they go into this, if at the end of last season, let's say that San Francisco game, Mike Pettine walks, they let him go, they bring somebody else in. I firmly believe that if there is a different defensive coordinator in that building when the draft is coming up and you're in the middle of the draft and Patrick Queen is available, that there's more of a push to get Patrick Queen at middle linebacker under a different defensive coordinator, because as we've seen and heard from people in the organization and people that have played, Mike Pettine does not value the middle linebacker position. It's not a position of strength that they like to address. They bring in people that they think will be able to hold down the position, but they don't need, or they don't feel they need to make it a position of priority. If that's a different defensive coordinator, maybe Patrick Queen is the first round draft pick, and this is a different defense. All that aside, this is rhetoric we're hypotheticals now. The point is, Mike Pettine, after this week, on the hot seat for the Green Bay Packers,
the hottest of seats.
Exactly.
And the road doesn't get any easier. Like, good defenses down the road here. We got the Niners again. I mean, the Colts aren't anything fantastic on offense, but they're still someone to be considered. Titans later in the season. I know I'm missing one or two around here, but it's not going to get any easier. You got to figure it out. But good point, Dan. That's not – you somehow brought up Patrick Queen again for me, which I'm okay with. And you brought it up in the – Patrick Queen's a stud, but yeah. You were talking to Greg maybe too much. I don't know. Maybe he's getting too. But I think that makes sense, though. Like, if he's not there, if the defensive coordinator's not there, like, clearly Mike Pettine doesn't value the inside linebacker. You go Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, Antonio Morrison, B.J. Goodson. Yeah. Oh. Like, these are guys that are just like...
I'm having, like, Vietnam flashbacks when you keep
I love that guy.
He's starting now for... I forget whatever team he's on, but he's starting at this point. I don't know. But yeah.
I think the Browns.
You're right. It is the Browns.
Oh. Yeah. Either way, as we kind of wrap up here, guys, any other things that you're looking at throughout the rest of this week as we get ready for Houston? Or is there anything about the Texans team that is worrying you as you kind of like, I want to say prepare, because like, I feel like in the lead up to each game, it feels like the anxiety kind of like changes from day to day as fans get ready for these games. Like, we're obviously not watching film, but for you, is there anything that's worrying you as we look ahead to Houston, or is there any other storylines you think, with the Packers team that we keep an eye on?
No, I think you hit him on the head, Dan. I mean, the Bakhtiari or the potential Bakhtiari J.J. Watt matchup. You know, Randall Cobb, obviously, it's going to get some notoriety. It should, right? I mean, he's didn't really do much in the beginning of the year. He's, you know, having a little bit more productivity now. But I think really overall, it's just like throw out whatever game plan you had on offense and defense that you were trying to be cute with. And just get back to the basics. I mean, I know Tyler Irvin was hurt, and I mentioned that a few times. Like, maybe him coming back will help, but there was no reason to make some of those offensive play calls that they were doing. Defensively, I mean, you have to be better. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and they were better in the beginning of the year in the first few games. So I just think, you know, you kind of crumple this one up, throw it away, recycle it, of course, and then we'll just get back to, you know, what it should look like on offense, what it should look like on defense. Get after Deshaun Watson a little bit, make him run around, and probably force some picks, and hopefully Kevin King's in the back end to make an interception.
Yeah, I think just one of the concerns I have that we didn't really touch on was, you know, the Texans looked really, really good against the Titans. It was a shootout. I think it was, 42-35, and they ended in a loss, you know, a game that you would think they'd win playing as good as they did. So, like, they're coming off a hot loss. We're coming off an ugly loss. It's kind of, you know, that hunger for that win after a loss like that. Both teams are going to come in really hungry, and it's just a matter of who's going to feed themselves, you know? Who's going to go out there and actually make the adjustments? And the thing about watching the Texans go into an offensive shootout game, it's like, okay, that's nothing unfamiliar for us as Packer fans, seeing those offensive shootouts and the defense just kind of being on the field, allowing it to happen. So I think if this defense can figure their crap out and turn it around and come in and, you know, maybe not let them score every drive and go a 38 unanswered points, that would be really cool. But I don't know. I think both teams are coming into this weekend like hungry for a win, and that could make for a really, really fun, great game if both teams show up, you know? If the Packers kind of carry this loss in a bag with them to the Texans game, I think it's just going to drag out and you're going to just see the same thing. So I think one of the things that I'm most excited to see is how Rodgers, especially as the leader on this team, throwing his third pick six ever and then throwing another pick right after that on the next drive, how he is going to just kind of turn around, because obviously 2020 Aaron Rodgers is a whole different person. So whether he's out there meditating or getting hyped up by Pat McAfee, you know, whatever he needs to do either for himself or in this locker room to say, hey, you know, this loss happened, it is what it is, but we have to go out there and get this next one to set the tone for the next half of the season. Because this Texans team, there's a lot of people, I see them kind of like, oh, well, we've got this one. Well, no, you can't go into this game thinking, oh, well, it's just the Texans, we've got it, because that mentality is how you will lose to maybe not the greatest team. I don't look at the Texans like they're an easy dub, and I really hope a lot of people are, especially the team, I hope they're not looking at this like an easy dub, because, yeah, we've said defensive-wise, not that great, but that doesn't mean that their offense can't pummel our defense. From what we've seen, it's doable, so I don't know. There's just a lot of mental game that needs to go into this one and regather, and I'm kind of expecting a shootout, honestly. If the Texans play like they did against the Titans, this could be a really close, high scoring game. So I think it literally is just a matter of our defense showing up again. Broken record, I've said this probably the last 3 weeks, but I'm just worried that the Texans are gonna ride the heat of that loss, because they look good. They looked really good. They didn't look like they did against the Vikings, you know? So, yeah, that was a really long ramble of just me. Whatever. I'm just really, I'm just frustrated. And I think we all are. Yeah. So, yes, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. But,
you know, one thing that I want to actually bring up that I just thought about, and I think is, I think it's not as big as some of the other things that we were talking about, but it is this year. This is the first game that the Packers played in front of fans.
Oh.
And it's on the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you, I think personally, I think you could tell that it affected that offense. Like you saw Aaron Rodgers, he seemed to be having a little bit more of an issue getting play calls in. I can't tell if the crowd noise is being amplified on the broadcast, but it, I mean, it sounded like that place was rocking, and I can't imagine that it was that loud with what 20%, 25% of people, but I mean, it sounded loud and it sounded like it had an effect, and they're going to Houston now, who I believe are hosting fans.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Texas stadiums are letting some fans in a dome on the road again. And something that I actually saw posted, I think WLUX, the Fox affiliate there in Green Bay, posted a story about this, how there hasn't been anything confirmed by the Packers, but nonprofit organizations that run the stadium vendors as stadium vendors have been told to line up potential workers for a game on November 15th, which is that fourth home game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's not been confirmed by the Packers. It's only being reported by – I only saw it from WLUX. But, I mean, that has to be a storyline throughout the rest of the season is, A, when's the first time, if ever, we see fans at Lambeau Field, and B, how do the Packers react to playing in front of fans? Because you could argue those two road games against the Saints and the Vikings, those look a little bit different with fans in the stands. So does that have an effect on this team, you know, after playing 4 weeks in front of nobody?
And it seems crazy, but like we kind of alluded to early in the episode, you get comfortable, right? And you get comfortable in your routine week to week, and then all of a sudden you have a bye week and it throws you off. Well, now you go to a stadium with fans, even if it's, you know, 20,000 fans or 15,000 fans, whatever it is. Like it definitely did affect the game a little bit. Like you weren't getting plays in, obviously, right? There was a few checks at the line that didn't get right with some of the younger receivers. So it's so hard to fathom being like a fan. You're watching, like, what do you mean they play with 75,000 fans all the time? But like all of a sudden you're used to, you know, the last 2 months or a month having really easy communication, and all of a sudden it's just, you know, all it takes is a little bit to throw you off your routine, which we saw happen with Tom Brady 2 weeks ago, right? I mean, he would never forget the down, but, you know, there's things you take for granted when you get into a situation where you're comfortable and you kind of just – but, yeah, I think it's something to be said about that. And when there will be, you know, people in the stands, I have no idea. I live in Green Bay. I would love for there to be people here, but we are in the – ground zero right now of the pandemic, which is unbelievable.
Well, yeah, Matt, you're absolutely right. Like, if no offense to Packer fans, but if there's one state so far that has kind of proven themselves not responsible enough to be hosting fans at a live event, Wisconsin has to be up at the top of the list there, unfortunately. Take a moment to remind you to wear your bleeping mask, everybody. All right. Anyways, let's wrap this up, guys. Where can people find you out on the Twitter sphere and everywhere else? Anything you want to promote and just let the people know about?
For sure. You can still find me on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. And check out my work with the boys over at PackersWorldwide.com, our blogs, our social media pages, our live streams, and everything else. Janelle, where can everyone
get a hold of you? You can find me on Twitter, as usual, at BigMac_4. Mac is MACK. And I did actually just start working for the Say It Again Network, so I'm very excited about that new opportunity. I'll be doing football, primarily Packers stuff, but you'll also catch me doing some hockey. So to my three people out there who actually interact with me when I talk about hockey, you'll be able to see some work starting to pile up there. So starting to get back into the writing aspect of things, that's where you'll be able to find me. So the Say It Again Network on Twitter is where you can find that.
That's awesome, Janelle.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Sweet.
I'm on Twitter as well, at DK all the way. You can find me over there tweeting stupid stuff. And then also my work over on Game On Wisconsin. We've got the Lombardi's Bar show every Wednesday night, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Lambeau time. We are doing a live show, quote unquote, sort of socially distanced at Stadium View. Matt, you're going to be joining us boys here at Lombardi's Bar tomorrow night.
I mean, honestly, as far as the socially distanced part, like, they're giving you the whole top upstairs of the bar too. So it's like,
right,
that's,
yeah. So it's, I mean, it's basically, not, yeah, just,
you're not in the thick of it.
Talked about how Wisconsin is so bad.
I know. But you can you can do these things if you do them responsibly. Going into a packed bar, no mask, everything else, that's not so great. And trust me, I'm saying this as someone coming from Michigan who is equally probably as worse or sure. as bad as Wisconsin is doing. So we've all gotta chip in and take care of this gosh darn thing. The work over there on Game On Wisconsin, I write a couple of pieces usually every Sunday, have a fun little piece out there, so you check that out. But doing a lot of great work over there too, and all of us doing a bunch of stuff, so make sure you're following all of us. And then obviously the podcast, at Hackaday Podcast as well. Make sure you follow, subscribe, rate, review the podcast, share us around, let your friends know if they haven't already been listening. But until next time, guys, as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.